In the first reading today, St. Paul tells us that we are not to be wise in our own conceit. This is just a typical human problem. Whatever we do because we think it's what's good. Somehow or another, we size it up, and this is good for me. Even if it's something that we know is absolutely wrong and sinful, there is something there that says, this is good for me. Otherwise, we wouldn't do it. If we just looked at it and said, oh, this is going to be really bad for me, we would say, no, I don't want anything to do with it. But we do it because there's something in it that we perceive to be good. And then when we perceive that something is good, the other half of the human problem is that we get proud. And we think that somehow or another, what we have is better than everybody else. We might, but there's no reason why we need to be thinking that way and presenting it that way. All we have to do is look, for instance, at the gospel reading, where we hear about this centurion who comes to our blessed Lord and asks that the Lord would heal his servant. The Lord says, I'll come and heal him. Now think what the average Jewish person would have done at that point. Oh my goodness, he's going to go to a house of a pagan. And not only is he going to go to the house of a pagan, he's going to the house of a Roman soldier. The very people who are persecuting us, the very people who are oppressing us, and he's going to go and heal that guy's servant? Really? It's exactly what Jesus said he would do. But there was something I was reading earlier this week. There was a reading about our Blessed Lady and St. Joseph as they came to Bethlehem. And of course, that they were rejected at the inn. But the way that the priest that wrote it put it, kind of turned it on its head. And then when I read the gospel for today, I thought, bingo, there's exactly what he's talking about. So let's just switch that around for a minute. We say, Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. And we're not. But ask yourself, what if you were in Bethlehem at that point, 2,000 years ago? Not knowing who Our Lady is, not knowing who St. Joseph is, having no idea that in our Blessed Lady's womb is the Messiah, they just spent 3 days walking there. That means Our Lady probably smelled like a donkey because she'd been sitting on one for 3 days. St. Joseph would be walking the donkey all the way along, and so you can only imagine what he might have smelled like and what their clothes would have looked like. And would we actually be so bold as to turn this backwards and say, you are not worthy to enter under my roof? Something for us to think about. Because the Lord told us what we do to the least of his brothers, we do to him. So one of the things that we have to look at is this point of, are we wise in our own conceit? Because then we look down on others. And there are so many ways that this can be done. Just to use a few examples. We like to judge people based on appearances. And we make all kinds of judgments on appearances that we shouldn't be doing, because we have no clue what's going on inside that person. But what, for instance, if we took a gentleman, for instance, and said somebody wants to come to Mass, they're here in their suit and tie, they look spiffy as can be, but, you know, the sins of men tend to be focused on anger and intemperance. So maybe this guy goes home and he's really nasty to his wife and kids. Or maybe he goes home and he gets drunk, or he's, you know, sitting around playing video games for hours and hours and hours while his kids aren't being properly cared for, whatever. You can put whatever example you want. And you say, okay, this is somebody who says, well, I go to Mass every Sunday. I'm better Catholic than these people. Are you? Again, instead of focusing on our own sin, we're looking at somebody else. Remember talking with the superior of a women's religious order. He's going to be working with some women religious, and she was telling me some of the things I had to watch out for in dealing with women. She said, one of the things, for instance, in our rule, the women's rule, she said, is that we have to specify exactly what the habit is to be. It has to be 2 inches from the ground, the hem has to be 4 inches, the scapular comes to 6 inches or 8 inches or whatever it was from the bottom, blah, blah, blah. She said, otherwise, what happens is one nun is going to be walking on her habit and the other one's going to have it almost up to her knees. And one's going to have her veil out to here and the other one's going to have her veil back here because she said it's all this virtue signaling. They're trying to let everybody else know, number one, that they're unique, number two, they can be independent, and number three, what it is that they're, whatever they're trying to present. And she said, so for the religious, obviously, they have to have it very specific so that they're all the same. And in the course of the conversation, and this is an order that's known for their charity, I looked at her and we talked about a number of other things and the way that the women would treat one another, which, by the way women treat one another is abominable. No woman would ever treat a man the way she treats another woman. Even if she's really angry at the guy, she would never treat him the way she treats another woman. It is ugly to watch two women going at one another. It is bad. But regardless of that, so we're talking about all these things and how these nuns even are making judgments about one another and, you know, you think you're better than I am, you think you're holier than me or whatever it might be. And I said, how do you teach them charity? And she just rolled her eyes and looked up at the ceiling and said, how do you teach a girl charity? I said, well, that's why I'm asking, because I don't know. But that was the point that she was looking at is, okay, this is what we have to be about, is charity, which is exactly what St. Paul tells us. We have to be doing good in the sight of God and men, and that we need to try to be at peace with people. So we can't be judging. We can't be lording over people. We can't be thinking somehow we're better than somebody else, because we're not. We don't know what people are, what their reasons are for doing what they're doing. Using that same point that the nun brought up. Remember, there was a woman that had come back to the church, and I had the privilege of hearing her confession. And the woman, well, she was a prostitute. And so she came back to church, and from her perspective, she was dressed pretty modestly. The women in the church were aghast. They would come up to me and say, oh, did you see the way that woman is dressed? I said, yep, I did. I said, just leave her alone. I said, because right now she thinks that she's being really modest compared to what she was a week ago. She is. But I said, just leave her alone. Within a few weeks, she'll start recognizing this isn't good. But if you say something to her, you're going to push her away. She's going to leave the church. Can't be doing that. And so, and that's the way it worked. They left her alone, everything was fine. But it's something for, again, for all of us to think about how we judge people and how we condemn people and how we're doing all these things, because it's just a human thing that we do. It's a whole lot more fun to point out everybody else's sin than to look at my own. It's not a good thing. Because if we're looking at everybody else's sin, all we're saying is, you are not worthy to enter under my roof. If we look at our own sin, we can say, I'm not worthy to enter under your roof. And I'm not worthy to have you enter under mine. So that's what we have to be about. And that, again, it cuts across on every level that we have to look at. If we just think even about coming to Mass, how often it's so easy, especially for people who are relatively new to the old Mass, to think, I've found something that's great. And you have. It's better than what those people are. No, it's not. Do I think it's superior? Absolutely. Do I think we're better because? know. Because we don't know why people do what they do. We can't be standing in condemnation. I remember when I was at St. Agnes, the prevailing attitude, nobody would ever say this, of course, but the prevailing attitude was, if you came to the High Mass, you were a real Catholic. The rest of them, nah. But for people who go to the traditional Mass, they would even look at the people at the St. Agnes High Mass and say, oh, no, because that's the Novus Ordo in Latin. Those aren't real Catholics. We're the real Catholics. What a bunch of hogwash. You're just as Catholic as they are, and they are just as Catholic as you are. What you've done is you found something that fits for you and you like it better, and praise God. It's part of the reason I'm so excited to be here, because of the old Mass. But I can look back to St. Agnes. I can look at even what goes on here. Some of my friends, they absolutely love the music. They can pray so much better with the music. For me, it is a total distraction. I can't handle the music because I get caught in it. It's so beautiful and I get caught. It's like, wait, no, I'm supposed to be focused over here. Is one better than the other? No. For my personal prayer, it's easier not to have music. For other people's prayer, it's easier to have music. It's not that one is better than the other, but for the individual, it might be. So again, we look at those kinds of things and we say, okay, we don't know. Even when we see what people are doing, so many times over the last 32 years or so, the number of people who have sat in the chairs across from my desk, they open their heart and tell me what's going on in their lives. And some of these are people that I would kind of know what was going on, and I would think, this person should know better than this, or why is this person doing that? And then they would open up. They would tell me that they'd been abused as a kid, or they'd been neglected, or they'd been violated, or whatever it was that happened. And it's like, judge not, lest you be judged. The Lord would just pierce me right to the heart. Because I look at it and say, you know what, if that had happened to me, I'd probably be doing even worse things than what they're doing. So we don't know. We can't be judging people based on appearance. It even comes into things with the Mass. Remember, there was a priest who was called by a particular parish to come and help them because they didn't have a priest for that particular Sunday. This priest hadn't said the traditional Mass in probably 30 years. He was so excited about the possibility of coming and doing the old Mass. Of course, after 30 years, he probably made several mistakes. And somebody came back to the sacristy after Mass and said to him, I'd give you about a B+ for that performance. Last time he ever said Mass for those people. We have to be so careful. The Lord is calling us to charity. Maybe we need to learn a lesson from St. John of the Cross. He was obviously talking to the monks, but it's a lesson that all of us can learn. He said, live in the monastery as though you're the only one there. In other words, don't pay attention to everybody else. They're not your problem. Obviously, if you have a spouse and kids, yeah, you have to deal with that. They're your responsibility. But everybody else isn't. We don't have to worry about all those people. We can pray for them if we see something. It's not ours to judge them. We don't know what's going on. We just need to practice charity. That's what the Lord is asking us for. St. John of the Cross is very clear that at the end, when we are judged, it is going to be about charity. Period. That is going to be the basis of the judgment, is our charity. So that's what we all have to be looking at. That's what we all have to be working at. It's so easy, again, to look at others, to judge them, to be harsh toward them, whatever. Can't be doing that. We need just to look at ourselves and say, you know what? I'm a sinner. Who am I to judge these people? The Lord can be merciful to me. He can be merciful to them too. We need to pray for them and not condemn them. So it's, again, don't be wise in our own conceits, whatever those things are. Because like I said, whatever we do it because we think it's the best. And that's what we need to be really careful of. Because what's best for one person may not be best for the other. Obviously, if they're doing something sinful or something wrong, yeah, that puts it into a different category. But if they're not, you know, it's like saying, I like broccoli and you don't. It's like, oh, you're wrong then. Like, no. If this is good for one but not for the other, that's okay. So we have to have that charity. We have to then remember what our Lord told us at the end of the gospel reading. He said, people are going to come from east and west and north and south. They're going to be seated with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But the children of the kingdom are going to be cast into the darkness. We don't want that. We want to be in the kingdom. And so if we think that we're better than somebody else, if we think in the conceit of our own heart, you know, which, by the way, Our Lady in her Magnificat said that God will cast down those who have the conceit in their own heart. So we don't want to be given into that. We want to rise above that. We want to practice that charity. Keep the focus on the Lord. That's why we're here. He's here for us. We're here for Him. So we don't need to worry about what everybody else is doing or what anybody else is doing. Which, by the way, that includes the priest. You know, that's, you know, it's not about did the priest follow all the rubrics perfectly. The priest needs to worry about whether he's following the rubrics. You don't need to worry about that. All you need to worry about is Mass is valid or not. But it's not about is it done exactly. That's the priest's sin, if that's the case, not yours. You know, I have to smile because God does these things sometimes, just sometimes I think to bring things to the surface for people. People give Father Eckhart a lot of grief these days. Oh, Father Eckhart said Mass in flip-flops. I said, yep, he did. Look at what happened to his foot. He can't genuflect. Oh, I didn't know. Like, right. So don't judge. Judge me if you want. I wear sandals because I'm weird. I'm bizarre. That's fine. You can talk about me all you want. But, you know, it's not. When you look at somebody like Father Eckhart, there's no irreverence there. It's a matter of there's a reason why he's doing what he's doing. So we don't want to be condemning that. Be grateful that he's there to say Mass in pain. Because that's what he's doing, because he loves you and he loves the Lord. So again, just those little vignettes to think about, because it's so easy for us to get caught in those external things and to make judgments about people on those external things and to be wise in the conceit of our own heart. Don't. Instead, do good to all. And be at peace with all, as much as it's within your power, as St. Paul said. That's what God is going to be looking for from each one of us. To be the light in the world. To bring that goodness, to bring the charity to others. Because that's what our lives are to be. Love of God and love of neighbor. As St. John of the Cross said, when all is said and done, our judgment is going to be about charity. So that needs to be our focus. Keep the focus where it belongs, which is on Jesus, to be focused on our own sins, not everybody else's, and to extend the goodness and the charity of God, so that as it has been given to us, so we in turn can give that to others.